Sharing. Now, if you would take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now, last week, we were here in Matthew chapter 6 and saw that the disciples, after 2 years, recognizing not only the strength, but the importance of Jesus' prayer life, have given them the request, the only thing that they've ever asked Jesus to teach them, and that is, Lord, teach us to pray. We saw that in Luke, and then we went into the extended version of the prayer that Jesus gave them in Matthew chapter 6 that we know is the Lord's Prayer. And that the Lord's Prayer is a prayer that we can actually pray, but it is also a series of themes that we pray through for a more extended season of prayer with the Lord. As we began to look at the prayer, we went to the one here in Matthew chapter 6. And so let's just read through the prayer again together, beginning with verse number 9. Jesus says, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." One of the things we looked at last week is that there's really 4 sections in this prayer, that Jesus begins with worship, and then he moves to surrender, and then he talks about God's provision and God's power. So you've got worship, surrender, you've got provision and power. Worship and surrender are the 2 things we offer to God. And then we ask God to provide back to us his provision and his power. And so last week, we looked at those first 2 themes of worship and surrender as the 2 things that we offer to God as we come to him in prayer. And that Jesus told us to begin with worship. And we begin even that segment of worship with our Father. We enter the presence of God as his welcomed, loved, and cared for children because of Jesus Christ. We then pray that and remember that he is the God of heaven. That means that he is the transcendent, sovereign creator of the universe. And as we move on to hallowed be your name, that literally that is make your name holy. And that God's name is made holy when we declare our worship and then we submit to him. We enter into his presence and we declare who he is and worship as we remember his names and we remember his attributes. We declare his greatness and we bow before his majesty. And then in an act of submission, we submit to him. And that's worship. Then we move on to surrender and we surrender our lives to his kingdom purpose and to his will for my life. That as you and I pray, your kingdom come, the first thing we do is say, Lord, your kingdom come in my life. Your reign take place in my life. And so we say, Lord, I want to know, love, and serve Christ with every moment, with every relationship, with every role, and every activity of my life. I want to know and honor Christ. We also pray your kingdom come as a church, that together we come and say, Lord, we surrender to you as Lord. You are Lord of us, your church. And so we want your love to be experienced within, and then we want to share the love and the gospel outside. And then ultimately we say, Lord Jesus, come. May you return and establish your earthly reign, your perfect earthly reign on this earth. And having surrendered to the purpose of his kingdom, we now surrender your will be done. And that when you take and boil all that down, God's will for my life is that I be obedient to His word and that I trust Him in my circumstances. And that as I trust Him in my circumstances, I learn to have a spirit of contentment. And that's where we left off last week. Now, we're going to move on to the part of the prayer where there's two things that we ask God to give back to us. We say, Lord, give us your provision, and Lord, give us your power. Give us your provision, and give us your power. Because when we look at this idea of surrendering to Him and say, your kingdom come and your will be done, if we really are looking that, we go, you know what? We really can't live the way God is telling us to live, and that is absolutely true. But there's one thing that we need to remember. God says it's impossible for you, but I will give you enabling grace to live beyond yourself if you ask for it. I will give to you enabling grace, but I have decided I want you to ask for it. And so we come to this idea of asking God for His provision and His power, knowing that we need His enabling grace to live this life that we're called to in Christ. And it's also important to remember that although we have divided the prayer into two sections and two different sermons, rather, God intends these four themes to be prayed together in one conversation so that there is balance and there is depth to our time with the Lord. And we'll talk a little bit about that as we close today. So let's get into God's provision. Let's get into God's provision. In verse number 11, he says, give us this day our daily bread. The first thing that you and I ask for is for the Lord to supply our physical needs. The needs that are related to this actual life that you and I live. It includes things like food, shelter. It includes health. It includes finances. It includes the need some of us still have to have a job. And even if you're retired, there's prayer for that continuing provision of finances through all those things we recognize we trust God for. Now, it's interesting to see what Jesus says a little later on in chapter 6 here of Matthew. Look at verse 31. Where Jesus is going to say this. He's going to say, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I find it really interesting that this prayer reflects that teaching, doesn't it? Before we go to God with needs, we start with worship, kingdom, and obedience. To seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness is the same as saying, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. And that having focused on that part of prayer, now we're ready to move on to those things which are a part of this life, that these needs that we have as human beings that we all share together. And so we say, now give us this day our daily bread. Now, for many of us, this is a call to be thankful for what's a really generous provision, isn't it? Most of us have been provided by the Lord way beyond what we need just today. And so this is a call for thankfulness. It's a call for appreciation for what God's given to us. I really believe that every U.S. believer should spend some time doing ministry in a third world country, so that we more fully appreciate the blessings we have here in every way, politically as well as in the blessing of all the provisions that God gives us in comparison to the majority of the globe. I've had the opportunity twice to minister on ministry teams in Honduras. Honduras is considered one of the five poorest countries on earth, and the poverty I saw there was beyond belief. And it was beyond anything that even the most poor section of the United States ever has to experience. And so it's an opportunity for us to go, Lord, just thank you, and have this heightened level of appreciation for the way God provides for us. But also, it's a reminder to never forget this. Every opportunity and every resource that I have in my life is a gift from God. Every opportunity I've had in my life to meet physical needs, every resource God has provided for me was a gift from God. The James puts it this way, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of God that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Everything I have is a gift from God. I hold it from him. So therefore, regardless of how much earthly wealth I may have accumulated, I am still depending upon the Lord day by day. There is no room for any sense of self-sufficiency in the life of a believer. We are always conscious of our dependence upon the Lord. Back in 1986, Denise and I were doing youth ministry, and we took our first trip to a ministry in New York that had two different camps on this beautiful campus. One was called Camp Hope. They ministered to inner city children in the five boroughs of New York City. The other was Camp Joy. At that time, Camp Joy was both a residential camp as well as in an expanded area that did weekly camps throughout the summer for adults and children with disabilities, physical and mental disabilities. Neat ministry. And we met this little kid named Johnny. Johnny was probably about 10 years old at the time. Johnny had cerebral palsy. He could not speak, and he could not move. He was in a wheelchair. His hands were deformed like this. He could not move them hardly at all, and his legs looked about the same. And the only way that Johnny could communicate was what I would refer to as this thing that looked like very much like a Ouija board. It had yes, no, a few little phrases like, please take me to the bathroom. It had the alphabet there and a few key words. And in order to communicate, Johnny would take that stylus that they could put into his hand, and he would just do this. And he could communicate one word or one letter at a time. I don't know why it is, but you assume that that meant he was somehow mentally impaired. And so when you're in that situation, again, I don't know why, you speak slowly and loudly as if that's going to help. Fast forward several years, because we went to that camp for over 20 years in different ministries we were in, and we got to be there when Johnny was getting ready to graduate from high school. In the meantime, they had come up with the first electronic communication boards. And they had two things. One, Johnny could now program that thing or use that thing with just eye movement. And the second thing was it had a voice box, so it actually gave Johnny a voice. And in the process of him being able to now communicate with us, it was discovered. He was tested. Johnny had an IQ of 130. That's 15 to 20 points higher than mine. I'm serious. And he had a heart for Jesus. He wrote a letter to the Supreme Court that would bring you to tears about how all life is precious in the sight of God. Johnny went to college. Johnny then got a job writing software so that people like himself could function in the workforce. Johnny had this wonderful mind locked in a malfunctioning body. And I just want you to know that every time I think of Johnny, I remember this. Every opportunity and resource that I have ever received in this life is a gift from God, including the ability to walk, the ability to talk, the ability to use my hands. Every educational opportunity, every ministry opportunity, every job opportunity is a gift given by God and should never be taken for granted. And because James says these all are gifts, and that means I'm not entitled to anything. It's a gift. Now, you and I have a responsibility to be wise stewards of everything God's given to us, and that includes opportunities and resources. We use them wisely, we use them responsibly, we use them generously, and ultimately we use them for His glory. But they're His. And it's a good time to remember that as we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, all this is from You, and I still depend on You. Thank You. And then, having asked for our physical needs, now we pray for God to provide healthy relationships. We pray for God to provide healthy relationships. He says, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. We ask God, would You provide for us a healthy relationship with You? And would You provide a healthy relationship with each other? The provision of a healthy relationship with God and with each other. And we start with God. Forgive us our debts. Jesus is talking about our fellowship with God here, not our salvation, because saving faith in Jesus Christ brings us into this secure forever relationship with Him. But what Jesus is talking about here is the fact that ongoing sin in my life does affect my fellowship with God. Sin is a barrier that keeps me from being able to be as close to and experience fellowship with God in the way He desires. And so when I recognize there is sin in my life, I confess that from God to God, I repent from it, and God removes the barrier, and I'm brought back into that close relationship with Him again. I've often talked to people who will say, I don't feel close to God. And I look for an opportunity to graciously say, is there sin in your life you need to deal with? Because if there is, that's a starting point. Because you cannot have known sin that you refuse to deal with and feel like you're going to have intimacy with God. God goes, no, I've got to deal with the barrier. Got to deal with the barrier, and then we'll remove that. He does it lovingly. He does it graciously. But He insists on it. We are going to deal with that. And so we come to Him and we say, forgive us our debts. And as we confess our sins, God has promised He will not only forgive them, but He removes them, doesn't He? Washes them away as far as the east is from the west. And so the Apostle John says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, wash us, remove. So to say, lead us not into temptation is to say, Lord, prevent me from leaning on my own understanding and to walk in Your way. You see the contrast of doing or not doing this when you look at Jesus and Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you remember in the upper room, Peter's boasted on the fact that his commitment to Jesus is far greater than these other 11 guys here. You know, they may blow it, they may run from you, they may desert you, but I, Peter, will die with you. Jesus, of course, informs Peter that not only is he going to join the others in running away, but later that night, he will deny him 3 times, to which Peter vehemently declares will never happen. But listen to what happens once they get to the Garden of Gethsemane. This is important to catch. Says that Jesus came out and went, and as was His custom, went to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed Him. And when He came to the place, He said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Same word as in the prayer. Pray that you will not be overwhelmed by what you're about to go through. And He withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if You are willing, remove this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Yours be done. And there appeared to Him an angel from heaven, strengthening Him. And being in agony, He prayed more earnestly, and His sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when He rose from prayer, He came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And He said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation, that you may not be overwhelmed. Jesus prays, and He is strengthened by the Father, and with that enabling grace, walks to the cross. Peter is prayerless. In just a few moments, as Jesus is arrested, he's first impulsive. He grabs an oversized dagger and slices the ear of the chief priest's servants off. And then immediately overwhelmed by fear, he flees. And later, with that same fear capturing him, he denies Christ. Because left to his own strength, Peter's defeated by the trial. And the difference between Jesus and Peter is not so much that Jesus is the Son of God in that moment as the God-man. The difference is Jesus prayed, Peter didn't. Because God the Father sends the angel to strengthen Jesus in response to Jesus' prayer. It's a great lesson for us. How often have I been in a moment where emotions came up and I spoke words I regretted? I've made an impulsive decision that spectacularly backfires on me, only to realize upon reflection later, I failed to pray. I had failed to pray. I failed to say, Lord, I can feel my emotions rising here, filter my words. Lord, I feel confused and pressured to make a decision, so slow me down and give me your wisdom and understanding so that I take the next right step. All of that is encapsulated in the concept or the idea, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Lead me on your way. And then he does get to sin, as he says, but deliver us from evil or the evil one. Lord, enable us to resist the temptation to sin. You know, sometimes those temptations to sin come from within us and our sin nature. Sometimes temptations to sin come from the world and the culture around us and the influences. Sometimes temptations will come through Satan and his demons, but I've stopped trying to figure out where the temptation's coming from in the moment because it does not matter, because whatever the source of the temptation, the solution is the same, the enabling grace of God received through prayer in the moment. Paul talks about this. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, well-known verses, Ephesians 6, and starting in verse number 10, the Apostle Paul writes, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And here it is, verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. It's sort of emphatic there, isn't he? Pray. You want to know the secret to walking in the armor of God? It's not a mental exercise. It's a prayer experience with the Lord. And we pray for ourselves, and we pray for each other. Back in 2004, I had come to a point in my life where I recognized I wanted to have a deeper and closer relationship with God, and I knew there was something missing in my spiritual life, and I endeavored to go find it. I knew it wasn't that I needed more Bible knowledge. I'd been studying and teaching the Bible as a pastor for over 20 years at that point. Don't get me wrong, there's always a lot more to discover in Scripture. It's simply that's not what I was missing. And I didn't have to go do more for God either, because, yeah, there's an awful lot of ministry that God had before Denise and I, and we still have in front of us, praise God, but that's not what I was missing. I knew rather quickly that what I needed was a deeper, more consistent prayer life. And I had to confess to God I didn't know where to go. I didn't know where to start. I did not know what to do. And so I simply began to set aside time every single morning before I did anything else to sit before the Lord. One morning, I still remember it, I said, Lord, you need to teach me to pray. And God said, well, Len, actually, I already did that. And the Holy Spirit led me to this passage in the Lord's Prayer. And that began what is now 17 years and counting of God using this prayer in my life. I start every single morning with the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes I just slowly work through that, and I'm done in 1 to 2 minutes. And there are other times I pray through this as that set of themes, and I can pray for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, sometimes longer. And God always speaks back. And the Holy Spirit controls what that time frame is. Now, I've got a lot more to learn about prayer. I'm just scratching the surface, and I've got so much more growing I need to do. But I am so thankful for where God's taken me since 2004. And now every morning I get up and the first thought in my mind is, God's waiting for me, let's go talk. I've learned this. The Word of God is the door to growing in my knowledge of who He is. And that's essential and wonderful. And that prayer is the door to intimacy with God, to relationship with God, to knowing His presence, and to receiving His grace. And when you take prayer and the Word, they work together and they grow depth and warmth in my walk with God. And so this morning I encourage you, in fact, I guess I challenge you, take the next while and simply say, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. And maybe you don't have a consistent prayer life. The answer to that may be, just take 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes would be a great place to start. And just say, Lord, teach me to pray, and take 5 minutes and just reflect through the Lord's Prayer and just do it day after day and see what God does. Maybe you have a prayer life that already has depth and richness to it. Just say, God, grow me more. Maybe this is something God would use in the first season for you. It's not the amount of time you spend, it's the consistency that you do it. You will have to not only set aside the time, but you'll need to do it over time. I got up that first morning early and went to God and say, Lord, you're going to have to teach me and show me what I'm missing. 6 months later, the Lord opened up the Lord's Prayer to me. 6 months of getting before Him, waiting for Him to give me direction. It was worth the wait. And I, again, offer the Lord's Prayer as a place to start or a place to grow deeper. You cannot imagine how much God wants to wrap you in the experience of His love. You don't know how much God wants you to feel His grace. How much God wants to give you the enabling grace to step out of things that you know in your life you want freedom from and you've never been able to get it. And God says, let's pray about it, let's talk about it, and I'll grace you for the steps forward. He so desires to do all of that. And in a time in which we seem to think so much is wrong, God is everything that's right. And we're His children. And He says, walk with me. Learn who I am through my word, and then let me wrap you in my presence in prayer. And let's walk forward together. May you experience an ever-deepening, full, complete walk with God and everything He has. We arrive the day we see His face, amen. But in between is this wonderful journey of growing. So I'd like to pray for you before we have our last hymn. And we're just going to I'm going to pray through this with you. And then we're going to worship the Lord one final time as Heidi comes up and leads us. But let's go to prayer. Our Father, we come to you as children who can't believe you've given us this privilege. We come to you as children who love you and we trust you. We need you. We come knowing that you have declared an adoption that says, this is my son, or this is my daughter, through faith in my son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you that we come with hearts that can say, Abba, Father. We acknowledge that you are the creator, transcendent God of heaven. That the heavens declare your majesty. We stand in awe of your work. And we ask that you do make your name holy. That you make your name holy in us as we surrender to you and submit to you, Lord. And all we are, that every moment, every day, every relationship, everything we do is a sacrifice, is an offering to you. And we pray, Lord, that we as a church, Grace Bible Church, will experience the wonder of you, Jesus, our head, leading us into the ministry that you have for us in this community and around the world, that we can't even begin to imagine what you have. But we surrender, we submit to it. And Lord, we do say, Maranatha, would you please come? We so desire your final earthly kingdom to be established and all made right. God, give us this day our daily bread as we come and acknowledge all the richness that so many of us have in material possessions and all the ways you meet our needs, God. We just say thank you, but remind us we are so dependent on you, Lord. And so we hold gratitude in one hand and we hold dependence in the other and say, give us, Lord, what we need. And we ask that you will also reveal to us the sin that is a barrier to the closeness you desire to have with us, that we might see it and repent and confess it, and you remove it, God, through the gift of forgiveness. And help us, Lord, to be in good relationship with each other. And where we need to forgive, Lord, give us the grace to forgive. And where we need to confess, give us the grace to confess, that we might be one as Jesus prayed we would be. And Father, would you now lead us in your way? Lead us not into temptation of self, but lead us in your way of spiritual enablement, graceful, Lord, and kind toward others, that we might have good words that we speak, that we might have wise decisions that we make and godly actions that we take. And when sin knocks at our door, as it did to Cain, may we know its enticements are to ensnare us. And so, Lord, may we push it away. And by grace, Lord, refuse to be enticed into it. Because, God, yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory. And if it's forever, and it's forever, Lord. And together we say, Amen.
Will you join me by standing and singing together our closing hymn?